Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Udo Staatsbuchler, and I welcome you to the fifth part of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. Even though I'm live on air and I would like to take your calls, this is unfortunately not possible tonight because we have the same gremlin in the system that we had three or four times before. However, send me any questions you may want to ask or any comments to my website, and I will reply within 48 hours as usual. And my website is http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you will find my email address, and on page 4, you will also find recordings of all my previous radio programs. Last week, I talked about persuasion techniques, and now I will continue with a few more techniques interspersed with use of language, and then move on to talk about the language of persuasion, and with this I mean both the verbal and the body language. In order to influence anyone to do anything, you need to be in rapport with them. The best and easiest way to be in rapport with someone is if you like each other, because it is simply much easier to influence friends than strangers or enemies. But even then, there are ways of saying things that they are more likely to respond to. People like people to like them. For example, at a party when people are first introduced, they search through questions until they find something that is of common interest. And if they don't find it, or if they come across something that is contrary to their own beliefs or values, they move on to someone else. A party would actually be a very good training ground to practice your matching skills, or as I said in last week's talk, your skill to mirror people. The first thing to match or to mirror is hand gestures and physical position. I just love watching people, and the easiest thing to find out about them is who is the leader in a group, who is trying to be accepted, who has an affair with whom, which two individuals are long-term couple, and if there is still affection between them. Check this out when you're in a party. Whose body language matches whose? In unequal groups, the leader will change his position first, and the others will follow. In equally close partnerships, either will change their positions first, and the other will soon match it. Matching can be great fun, but you want to be very, very subtle. If you're not subtle, you will be rumbled soon, and this can be a very embarrassing experience. What you're really doing is you mirror somebody consciously, whereby before you would have done the same if you were in rapport with the other person, but unconsciously. Let's talk again about reframing. I have talked about reframing or meaning making before, and I already have stressed the importance of it. Reframing belongs under the heading language of persuasion, because when we label things by assigning a word to them, we fix them. And to some extent, we also fix our attitude to them. The classic example is the word problem. When we use it or hear it, we approach it in a certain way. If we call the same situation a challenge, we most certainly approach it differently. As I said before, what one person perceives as a threat, another one may see as an adventure. Imagine having moved to a town where you are new and know nobody. Your next-door neighbor kindly invites you to a party, and before the other guests arrive, he gives you a rundown on what kind of people you are going to meet. Being upfront and honest about them, your neighbor identifies one of them as being timid, another one as slow, others as being impatient or enthusiastic or domineering, and so on and so on. How would you respond to them? How would you treat them as a result of this prejudging and your prejudice? Typically, people tend to cherry pick and look for signs that prove that their prejudice is justified. Do it, and you have stuck a label on a person. Similarly, your boss gives you a task that had been an insurmountable problem for a few others before. They are telling you how impossible it was to solve the problem, that it was way out of their reach, and they commiserate with you that you are now the one tasked with it. You know full well that behind your back they are gleeful and happy that the boss had found another sucker. But this task is labeled now. It is a problem, it is impossible, and it is insurmountable. The first step to undertake is to take the labels off, make them unstuck, and then give them different labels. Labels that tell you that this task is a challenge, and you have mastered many challenges before, that you can master this challenge too when you put your mind to it, as you did when you mastered all the other challenges before. And then you can do it with ease and confidence and with elegance. And then you go for it, using all the tools I spoke about when talking about creative problem solving. When seeking to influence others, or when you set goals for yourself, it is important to use positive rather than negative language. Or as the Arlen and Mercer song says, accentuate the positive. I mentioned this before, but it also belongs under the heading language of persuasion. And it is so important that it needs to be emphasized again. Everyone knows what they do not want. But the more you talk about what you don't want, the less energy are you putting into what you do want. What are the two key words, the operative words, in the golfer saying to himself, I'm not going to hit the bunker? Well, they are hit and bunker. That is what your mind is focused on. Repeat a few more times, I'm not going to hit the bunker, I'm not going to hit the bunker, and your mind will fixate on hit and bunker. What is the likelihood of the ball going right into the bunker? I'd say it is enormous. It is definitely much greater than getting the ball onto the green or wherever else you want it. One aspect of helping yourself and others to think more clearly is to be precise in the use of language. If somebody tells you, I don't understand, it is worth checking what exactly they do not understand. Before launching a rerun of what you just had told them, ask them for the missing information. People are always exaggerating by using words such as, well, the one I just used before, always, never, and so on. Nobody likes me. I never know what's going on. I am always late. When you catch yourself thinking this way, challenge yourself. Realize that most of these generalizations are really only temporary phenomena. I'm sure that you will remember situations when you were well on time, when you knew full well what was going on, and that there are indeed a number of people who really do like you. And how come that we never, another generalization, never use these expressions about something good? Be also precise when using comparisons too. How much a better performer do you want to become? How much better do you want your team to be? How much improvement on both will satisfy you? How much financial success do you want? If you are precise about what for you want it, it may not be beyond your means. I've said it before that words, I cannot, do not belong into persuasion language. But sometimes it is not precise to just avoid it, and it would be better to replace it with something more constructive, such as, I cannot yet, or I need more time, or I need some help, or I need more practice. In order to get a message through to people, a less direct approach can often be effective, which is where metaphor and story come into their own. People remember a story or a colorful metaphor much more easily and for much longer than to remember bald facts. But avoid bludgeoning your listeners with the words, and the moral of the story is, at the end. Language works in both directions. Oftentimes, one of the most effective things you can do if you want to influence people is to listen to them. What is it that they want? What are their opinions, their suggestions, needs, aspirations? The people who are considered the wisest are oftentimes just excellent listeners. Let me pause here to repeat that even though I am live on air, I cannot take your questions and comments because we have, again, the old Kremlin in our system. But you can ask me any questions or you can give me any comments by email. Just go to my website, mindmattersonline.info. Mindmattersonline is one word. There you will find my email address. Write to me and I will answer within 48 hours. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my previous radio programs so that you can listen to them at your leisure. Whether we realize it or not, we use persuasive techniques every day to get things we want by influencing others. Backed up by loads of social science research, there are quite a few techniques that are sure to give you an edge in any negotiation or debate. And one of the very good ones is, be the first to give. Reciprocity is a powerful force in our society and one that can be used to sway others. Doing a favor for someone you want to persuade can help to put them in your debt and may make them more willing to help you out in future. One study found that waiters who gave diners mints before they placed the bill on the table got consistently more tips than those who didn't. Admit your weaknesses. When others see you as being more trustworthy, they will be much more likely to go along with what you persuade them to do, whether it is to hire you or buy what you are selling. It may sound counterintuitive, but studies have confirmed the validity of admitting weakness. One such study sent out identical resumes with different cover letters, with one of the letters admitting a weakness. The honest cover letter received many more callbacks than the other, which focused only on the positives. Highlight not only what others have to gain, but also what they have to lose. Most people are looking for a job highlight only what employers have to gain by hiring them. But research supports the importance of also pointing out what others stand to lose in a deal. Potential losses actually create a bigger impact than potential gains in the decision-making process. So no matter what you are trying to convince others to do, show both sides of the coin. Showcase the reactions of others. Humans are social animals, and we often make decisions based on the actions and beliefs of others. For instance, hotel guests are more likely to reuse the towels if they are shown a message stating that many others are already doing this, rather than one that promotes the environmental aspect of reuse alone. For those in the working world, testimonials and recommendations can be powerful factors in helping others to make a decision. find common ground. Likeability is often a key factor in winning people over, and studies have shown time and again that one of the key factors in influencing is how much a person likes another and how many similarities they share. So if you're seeking to persuade, take time out to find out about the other person's interests and determine what common ground you two may share. Sometimes effectively persuading someone comes in baby steps, and getting them to say yes to something small can lead to a greater chance that they will be on board with a larger idea in the future. A study on this phenomenon found that homeowners who agree to place a small sign in the windows asking drivers to slow down were much more likely to agree to put a larger, more obtrusive sign in their yards later on than those who were not asked to display the smaller sign first. No one wants to be seen as inconsistent or a flip-flopper, and you may be able to use this to your advantage when trying to persuade. Highlight the past opinions and behaviors of others to encourage them to behave in a way that is consistent with those positions or actions. However, if you want to get people to change from past behaviors, reinforce that circumstances have changed and that it is natural to have different opinions in the present. You're not likely to influence anyone unless you have a smile on your face, but that smile has to be authentic. Humans are masters at detecting a fake smile. A genuine smile makes you more likable, more trustworthy, and ultimately more successful at convincing others. Keep things simple. Want your writing and speech to be the most persuasive? Keep it simple. Studies have shown that writing is much more persuasive than penned at the 8th grade level, even with those who are capable of understanding much more complex language. Simplicity makes things easy to understand and easy to remember, and is a highly effective tool in getting your way. Even if there are negative aspects of what you are trying to persuade others to do, spinning these elements as positive helps create a more overall positive view. Take this study as an example. Researchers created 3 different ads. One playing up the restaurant's cozy atmosphere, one simply advertising the restaurant but mentioning its lack of parking spaces, and one combining both the cozy aspect and the lack of parking. This one, the third one, was the most positively viewed, as the participants felt the lack of parking made the restaurant even cozier. When given a choice, people will most often choose the middle of the road option. If you want to influence someone to choose what you want them to, sandwich your choice between 2 more extreme choices. Chances are very good that they will pick the middle option. One of the most powerful words in the persuasion arsenal is because. Studies have shown that this simple word can make almost any explanation seem rational. In one study, a researcher experimented with jumping the line in a supermarket. In one case, the researcher said, "Can I jump the line because I'm in a rush?" 94% of people complied, even though in all probability some of the people in the line were also in a rush. The same study showed that the researcher just asking to jump the line without giving a reason for it was much less successful. Only 68% of the people in the line complied. No matter how tech-dependent we have become, FaceTime will always trump email or phone time when it comes to persuasion. It builds personal relationships, trust, and understanding in ways that take much longer to accomplish over long-distance methods of communication. One study found that people who met face-to-face before being asked to come up with a solution to a disagreement were 5 times as likely to come to a resolution. When trying to persuade, saying things once sometimes doesn't cut it. While you want to be concise, research shows that you will be most persuasive when you repeat that shorter message over time in different ways. I have said so before, while we like to think that the decisions we make are always logical, the reality is that even when we think we are being logical, most of our decisions making is based on emotion. Logical arguments are key to persuading others, but you need to make your audience not only think, but feel your message. The right balance will make you infinitely more persuasive. This is again something that I mentioned before. You might think that only focusing on the virtues of your point of view would be the best way to bring someone over to your side. But studies show that in actuality, people opposed to an idea are much more likely to be persuaded to an opposing position when they are presented with both sides of an issue. For the best result, present both sides and both pros and cons of your view. Tell stories. There's a reason that politicians tell stories about everyday people they have met on their travels. These kinds of stories are relatable, make an idea or a concept real, and build rapport, helping sell any platform a politician is running on. Borrow this tactic for your own negotiations for much more persuasive speech. Few things will sell an idea or a product better than confidence. Help bolster your confidence by practicing your pitch ahead of time and prepare yourself for any questions and concerns that could possibly arise. More preparation often means more confidence and thus better results. Adding a personal touch to something can often make others more motivated to respond and agree to it. One study showed that adding a simple handwritten sticky note to a questionnaire made recipients twice as likely to respond to it. So going the extra mile can really pay off when it comes to persuasion. Ask and validate. You can help improve the persuasiveness of your conversation abilities by employing 2 tactics. First, ask others about their own goals, beliefs, and desires. Try to understand where they are coming from. Later, repeat this point of view and validate it. This will make others much more likely to listen to what you have to say, build trust, and can be incredibly persuasive. Use the word "but" wisely in any statement. Use it wisely. Listeners tend to focus more on what follows the key word "but" instead of what precedes it. This is why it is important to make the final part of any "but" sentence the positive part, as that is what the listeners will remember. People are much more likely to go along with the advice of an expert or an authority than the average layman. Studies have shown that people are much more likely to do something, even if they are uncomfortable with it, if they are being encouraged to do so by an authority figure or an expert. Give people an incentive. Want to motivate people to go your way? Give them an incentive. Many do not realize the power that an incentive can have, especially in business. Take this study, for example. Researchers advertised a new car wash with incentive cards. One that gave a free wash after 7 visits, and one that was free after 10, with 3 free stamps on the card. Those who got the free stamps, despite needing the same amount of paid washes, were much more likely to come back. Sometimes a simple change in wording can make a statement much more persuasive. Need an example? Well, compare the old standard, operators are waiting, please call now. Compared to, if operators are busy, please call again. One implies that the operators are not busy, while the other implies a high demand for the product. It is all about phrasing, and it can make a big difference in the success or failure of your persuasive abilities. Decisions are context-dependent, so the tactics that work in one situation may not work in another. You need to tailor your technique to your audience by learning a bit about their situation, needs, and desires. Do this wisely, and you are much more likely to see success. People are much more motivated to make a decision, and often the one you want them to make when they are given the impression that they must act now if they want something, or that there is a chance that they might not get what they want. That's precisely why sales terms like exclusive access or limited time are so effective. Let me pause here to repeat that even though I'm live on air, I cannot take your questions or comments because we have the same old gremlin in our system that we had 3 times before. But I appreciate if you send me your questions or comments or suggestions by email. Just go to my website, http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you will find my email address. Write to me, and I will answer within 48 hours. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my previous programs so that you can listen to them at your leisure. Let us have a look at actual words that can make a difference in how successful you are in persuading people to do what you want them to do. But before I go into that, let me just tell you that just as well as physical matching, with that I mean mirroring body language, you can also match tone of voice, speed of talking, and the type of language. Just as some people prefer to learn visually or auditorily or kinesthetically, so their language can often reflect how they are thinking in any of these 3 ways. If you take literally the words people are using, then you can discover how people are thinking. For example, that doesn't ring a bell with me is an example for auditory. I cannot grasp the idea would be kinesthetic. Suddenly it is crystal clear, visual. We are all singing from the same hymn sheet, auditory. She knows how to push these buttons, kinesthetic. If you want to influence someone, you need to use language that they can understand at an unconscious level. If they are thinking visually, then you need to say things like, let me paint a picture for you. And then you use a lot of visual metaphors and literally describe how your proposal might look. If they are in auditory mode, then explain things word for word, speaking relatively slowly and clearly. because people in this mode often need to replay in their heads what you had said. So leave pauses for them to do it. Then you will be on the same wavelength and speaking the same language. People in kinesthetic mode need to think in terms of a three-dimensional model, or how they feel emotionally about it, or envisage what they might actually be doing. In other words, they want to be walked through your proposition in order to make it concrete. Being able to vary your language in this way can be very useful when you're explaining things to individual people. Just listen to the sort of language they use and then match it. If you're talking to a group of people in which all three modes are represented, then you need to vary the language that you use and also make sure to use neutral language as much as you possibly can. Now to the actual words that can make all the difference in persuading people to do what you want them to do. And we begin with the assumptive adverb opener. Obviously, it works. There are two forms of this assumptive opening, which uses an adverb to make something trivially true. Start with a statement that you want to be accepted without question. Then follow up with a statement that is desirable and easily accepted. For example, if you're sure that your conversation partner is Christian, you could say, obviously, God exists, so you can relax and enjoy life. Start with a statement that is easy to accept and follow up with the statement you want people to accept. For example, of course you want to enjoy life, which is nature's gift to you. Assumptive adverb openers also include, well, as I said, obviously, naturally, evidently, clearly, of course. Obviously, you need peace of mind, and this insurance product will give it to you. You are naturally unhappy because you are living with a fool. Of course it's expensive, but only the best is good enough. Adverbs such as the ones I mentioned trivialize the statement, effectively saying this is so obvious, only a fool would disagree. This assumptive suggestion puts a listener into a very difficult position, where to contradict the statement is to tacitly admit stupidity. This also works to get agreement. Once the listener has agreed to the opener, they are more likely to agree to the subsequent statement. Having effectively been prevented from saying no, they are effectively inhibited from disagreeing with the next statement. Then we have attaching and pushing away connection language. Use language to increase or decrease the connection between things. The things to connect can include you and other people, ideas, things, anything. For example, us and them. Talking about people makes them inclusively closer by saying we or us, or position them separately by saying they and them. This and that. When you talk about other people and things, this makes them come closer, whilst that pushes them further away. With or without. Words such as with and together connect, suggesting doing things jointly. Other words such as each and independent disconnect and separate. He is one of us, she is one of them. I like this, but I'm not sure about that. With this, we can make a difference. We think in an associative way. We use the natural patterning nature of our brains. Memory is an association principle, and when we commit something to memory, we do so by associating it with existing memories. When we bring things towards us, we connect with them, leading to bonding that joins our identity with that of other people, ideas or things and anything. In doing so, we make them part of us, and so forgive, approve, and agree with them. In this way, you can subtly increase the connection between your targets and the people and things you want them to like. Also, you can use separation language that causes them to dissociate themselves from other things. Separation can also be generally exaggerated by talking about all kinds of differences, from how a person looks to the derivation of ideas. In contrast, talking about similarities and using words such as like bring things together, joining their identities. Subtlety of use is improving by using smaller words that are quickly passed over, but which nevertheless have a disproportionate effect. Put the impact at the end of a sentence. To maximize the impact of a sentence, paragraph, or speech, put the main impact at the end, such that you leave them thinking, wow, and in a state of desire, rather than being bored and wishing you would finish soon. The final impact can be increased by building tension beforehand, hinting at wonders to come, creating allure and promise that keeps them hanging on until your last words. Listen to this. I'm going to let you into a secret, but not yet. First, I want you to know that I've been listening to a lot of people like you who have similar problems. And I also think you will be pleased to know I have been able to help them to get over those problems. And the secret of solving their problems lay in the effective use of a remarkable new support system. When people get the idea of what you are saying, or even think they have got the idea, they cognitively close, switching off from attentive listening to keep them listening and hanging on until the punchline at the end. You want to build tension beforehand. Tension is also used in movies and stories. This all adds up to an opportunity for a powerful and satisfying conclusion. But if you create promise, it is important to meet the expectations that you have set. Like a movie with a weak ending, if you fall at the final hurdle, you will still not get closure, and may only create irritation. One technique I really do love is future language, using the future in persuasion. To get people away from a focus on the past or the present, use language that asks them to think about possible futures. Get people to imagine what may happen in the future. This is mostly done visually, but can also be done auditory or physical, when using words such as supposing, imagine, how about, what would people say, how would you feel if. Consider the effect when, rather than saying you should get a new dress, you might say imagine you had a new dress, or suppose you had a new dress. Just supposing, take a moment to consider, just for a moment think. Notice a difference between saying, imagine you had a new dress, and saying, just imagine you had a new dress. You can add power to talking about the future by using the present tense of the verb instead of the future tense. This may not be grammatically correct, but it adds quite substantially to your power of persuasion. You can also use words that bring it into the present, such as now and here. Just imagine that tomorrow you are happy here all day. What if next year you are qualified and are in a well-paid job? Imagine you are successful now what you are doing. Notice a difference between saying, just imagine you had a new dress, and saying, just imagine you have a new dress now. Asking people to just to consider a possibility breaks their past or present thinking, forcing them to consider alternatives. Possibilities, as opposed to certainties, support the need for a sense of control. letting them feel they can still choose. Going into the future forces a person to move away from the anchor of the overpowering effect of the present. This opens them up to new thinking, or at least reduces the effect of the previous thinking. Another way to get people to think about their own future when they do not want to do this is to paint a picture of other people in their future. If the target person can connect with those people, then they will also connect with their own actions and so start to accept possibilities for themselves. Thinking about the future can hence be very motivating, changing the decisions a person makes about what they will do now. Words like just and suppose are often enough to persuade them to try this, implying that this is a small and temporary action and that their present reality is not being challenged at all. I've come to the end of this program. Remember my website, http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Find my email address and email me with your questions and comments. I will answer within 48 hours. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my radio programs so that you can listen to them at your leisure. For now, I leave you with Mark Twain's words, and I quote, "There's nothing in the world like a persuasive speech to fuddle the mental apparatus and upset the convictions and debauch the emotions of an audience, not practice and the tricks and illusions of oratory." Unquote. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week, same day, same time. Goodbye.